Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm the co-founder and CEO of ProcurementExpress.com. We help thousands of companies manage billions of dollars each year in spend. And today, I'm very happy to invite onto the show Harry Merenthira, who works with OFX. OFX is a special new partner that we have from June this year, so 2023, we're rolling out payments integration into Procurement Express. So that means that if you are spending a lot of time trying to get your vendors or suppliers paid, we've now integrated that process and makes it seamless so that you can go from all the way from getting a purchase approved, taking your invoice and delivery in, and then with a click within the system, do all of your payments. And this is something that can literally save you hours and hours of time. Or personally, I know internally now, our own payroll has gone from a process that used to take about 3 hours to down to a couple of minutes and a couple of clicks. And that's going to be something that all of our customers can benefit from. But in particular, I've asked Harry onto the show today to talk about FX. And we have a first-class integration with OFX, which means that if you're doing any cross-currency transactions, you can now do all your payments in a couple of clicks seamlessly with OFX. So, Harry, thank you very much for coming on to the Gross Profit Podcast. It's very nice to have you.
Hi there, James. Yeah, nice to be here as well.
So maybe you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your own background and maybe OFX for those who are not familiar.
Yeah, so James, I'm Corporate Account Director here. So I manage some of our key relationships across UK and Europe as well. So we set up our office in Dublin about 18 months ago to really drive our sort of growth and footprint across Europe. And we're very excited about the space and being involved in various businesses across Europe as well. So really what I specialize in is supporting businesses from what we call, you know, foreign exchange risk management and protecting their profitability, you know, their bottom line, however you want to put it really, from what are very volatile currency markets. And that obviously involves businesses that have got cash flows outside of their, you know, their home reporting currency. So with euros, often we find businesses are importing from the likes of China in US dollars, the US in US dollars, of course, obviously, as well as other currencies as well. And that naturally gives those businesses what we call a foreign exchange risk, which has really impacted, you know, things like their profitability. And they found that they've, you know, observed that they've lost profit through some of those fluctuations. So we support them with various ideas and strategies to mitigate that for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, at Procurement Express, we've been around about 10 years. And it seems to me, Harry, that, you know, this volatility seems to have got worse. I don't know. Am I imagining that in the last sort of 6-12 months, things have changed where it wasn't something that we ever worried about that much. And now I find it coming up more at board meetings, more in budgeting discussions. Is that true? Or is it just because where we are right now, it just feels that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sort of global macroeconomic sort of activity happening at the moment, which is driving a lot more volatility, right? And James, you're spot on. It's an observation that's very true. So if you look at the last 3 years, you know, since the COVID pandemic, if you like, we've seen the most volatility in some of the key currency pairs that we've not really seen since the global financial crash in 2008. So to give you an example, euro dollar last year swung from 0.96 up to close to 1.12, which is a swing of roughly 17%. And sterling dollar after the, you know, the disastrous budget back in September last year, where, you know, went as low as 1.05. And we've seen a swing of 25% on sterling dollar in the space of 12 months. So you can imagine a lot of businesses who operate on profit margins, you know, sometimes in some cases less than those percentages we've just described there, can have huge impacts on their profitability, you know, 50, 75% of their profit margins potentially wiped away.
And we're going to talk about that a little later on. So can I just ask you, let's say if I'm in a finance department now and I'm trying to do my projections over the next 12 months, I'm trying to do some budgeting, trying to get people to hit their budget, which is a whole other discussion. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just take a scientific wild-ass guess at what it's going to be? You know, how can I might have my department heads coming back to me saying, well, you give me a budget of X, but now the currency isn't the same as it was. How do you mitigate for that? And how do you plan for what at the end of the day is unpredictable? That's the whole name in a game. You don't really know what's going to happen. What are the strategies that an FD can use?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, for an FD, cash flow forecasts and cash flow forecasting can be a really difficult game, right? I mean, uncertainty, as you mentioned there, James, is really, it's a really a huge part of it. I think especially coming out of things like the pandemic, and obviously we're in this global hyperinflationary environment, and obviously the war on Ukraine has driven energy prices and inflation, it's made it even harder really to predict cash flows and predict sales and all of those things. So it is really harder than ever. But once you can or have set some type of cash flow forecast, it's important, obviously, to create a budgeting process that involves setting a budget rate. You know, it could be multiple budget rates if you can change that every month. And again, that's defined by so many different factors, you know, your competitive landscape as a business, what your profit margins are, your ability to change prices, or as we refer to in our industry, how elastic your pricing might be. So there's many different factors really that plug in to how you would then do that budgeting process. But at OFX, you know, we work very much on a one-to-one basis with our finance directors and CFOs to really hold their hand with that process and build that budgeting process out for them. And then finally, you know, once we've understood how to set that budget rate and budgeting process and how we can mitigate risk, then we obviously put a solution in place, which involves things like hedging strategies, spot contracts, limit orders, and various other tools at our disposal.
Okay, well, you made a little bit of jargon there we should probably drill into, which is, okay, so what's a spot contract, just for those who are coming to this for the first time?
Yeah, spot contract, I guess, if you like, is the simplest sort of contract that you can book with a foreign exchange provider such as OFX. It's where you've got, you know, you want immediate delivery of currency. We give our clients 2 working days to settle these contracts. So let's say it's, you know, you've got a euro cash flow, you're paying dollars to suppliers, you'd book a euro to dollar conversion with OFX on our online platform or through our telephone dealing service. And then you have 2 working days to settle that. So you send us the funds, you know, they SEPA a payment in euros normally hits our account within sort of half an hour to an hour. And then we release the dollars for you immediately. So it's just that immediate sort of conversion of currency and payment to a beneficiary or a supplier.
Okay, so that's what we would have done today. In fact, we would have paid our payroll for our staff in South Africa, and we would have set up the payment in Procurement Express, hit the button, and then it goes over, and then we just get a quote there and then, okay, if you want to send whatever it was, 500,000 rand, then you need to send us 25,000 euros or whatever it was at that stage. And that's a spot thing. What could we be doing as an alternative to that? Isn't that just what you have to do? Or what other choice do we have?
Yes, I mean, Jay, I think we were just discussing this, James. I know you're, like you said, relatively new relationship, and we were looking at some of your cash flows, right? And you talked about salaries there, which is this RAND requirement that you've got as a business. And you said, I think, that this comes from your dollar revenue stream, doesn't it? So it's US correct, dollars correct. To RAND. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the dollar RAND, you know, exchange rate, we've seen swings of greater than 20% in the last 12 months on dollar RAND. Now, if you are converting $50,000, that's roughly $600,000 a year, which really, if you look at just a swing of 20% on dollar RAND, is a potential risk to Procurement Express of $120,000. So what we do when businesses start working with us is identify these risks firstly, because a lot of FDs, I mean, it's not their fault. I mean, they've got so many different hats that an FD is wearing. They don't actually think about it in these terms. You know, what risk does this pose to your business? I mean, in this case, it's potential $120,000 loss to Procurement Express just through the dollar rand volatility. Right. Yeah. Then we ask questions like, well, actually, what does that mean to your business? You know, there's businesses out there, not many, but there are a few that $120,000, you know, it's a bit of a drop in the ocean for them. So they can absorb those kind of losses and crack on. But let's be honest, in this day and age, there aren't many. You know, everyone wants to save $120,000 if they can. Right. And it's about bringing certainty. So really, the final stage, once we identified that risk and the impact to the business of losing that kind of money, is putting a solution in place to try and mitigate that. So in your example, with salaries being so forecastable, you know how much salaries you're going to be paying really over the next 12 months in RAND, is giving your business certainty. So, you know, every month, you know, the fixed amount of dollars you're going to be spending on that payment run in RAND. Right. Another question is, I mean, if you had to end up spending an extra $50,000, $60,000 on your payment run, do you physically have that money? you know, that you have to pay your salaries, right? There's no way you can get around paying your salaries. But if you have to budget in an extra $60,000, do you have that money? If the answer is no, then actually we should be locking the exchange rate in to ensure that you've got a fixed dollar spend for your rand over the next 12 months.
Well, I guess it comes down to like a strategy. The company has to decide on a strategy. Like I have, you know, I have my competitors, like a man out at Procurify. He's a Canadian software company that we compete against. And, you know, we have Kevin at Bellwether and he's in Chicago. And they're not, they don't have this risk, right? So they're paying maybe people in Chicago or in Canadian dollars. It's all in the one go. And where we do, and we decide, well, we have, we're across a number of countries. So what are we going to do? Are we going to take the risk? Or do we just level the playing field between us and our competitors and say, okay, we're going to compete on something else. We're going to compete on, you know, service or quality of product or whatever. Or are we saying, no, well, actually, you know what? We could decide that we're going to play the currency markets. But I guess, I mean, none of us in business are in currency market. We're not currency traders. And yet by default, we kind of are, even though we don't want to be, right? So
it's a very good point, James.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people feedback to us. It's almost like an unwanted devil, if you like, of doing business, you know, of having this FX risk within the business. I mean, yeah. I guess another question for you, right, is you're an Irish based business.
Correct. Yeah.
Imagine your salaries were in, you know, your revenues are in euros, your salaries are in euros. Like you said, it's similar to that example in the US where everything's in US dollars. So there's no FX risk for that business. If the people you're paying that salary run to every month said, actually, no, this month I want an extra 10,000 euros. And the month after I want an extra 15,000 euros. You're not going to accept that from them, right? You've got a contract with these guys. You pay them a fixed amount every month for their salary, for the work that they do. That, you know, you wouldn't accept a variation in the amount you pay them every month.
Well, for sure. Well, we can't, like, especially with our staff, we can't turn around and say, well, actually, you know, I'm going to pay you a bit less exactly. this month because the dollar's a bit more. Like, it's just not exactly. an option. My wife's company, for example, they have a lot of contractors. The contractors, that's their risk, right? So they're charging in dollars. And if they're living in Argentina or wherever it is, that's that you just say you can. So that brings up the point, like, who can accept this risk? I mean, when you're paying your payroll, you obviously can't. You need to get those local currency to your employees straight away. But where could it be? Like, who could use it as an advantage? Who could, I think you called it, be a more elastic with their pricing? Is there someone who maybe just should go with the spot rate?
Yeah, and that you're absolutely right. There are industries where some clients will, you know, spot contracts are the right strategy for them. They shouldn't be hedging. You know, commoditized businesses are a classic example. You know, you've got meat importers or coffee traders or, you know, oil traders, for example, who are exposed to hourly fluctuations in price. They obviously can't hedge. Because to give them one fixed FX rate when, you know, their pricing is changing by the second, by the minute, or by the hour, would put them in a situation where they'd be heavily hamstrung and potentially leave them very uncompetitive. You know, I know, James, we spoke a while ago offline about the travel industry, but I think it's a really good example to bring up. Because in the travel industry, if you think about two different examples of travel companies, you've got the budget travel company who's maybe plugging into like a Skyscanner or some type of like, you know, like comparison supermarket style setup where they are really trying to provide the cheapest price to the customer, and the customer is going to choose the company that provides the cheapest price, and it's a few pounds or a few euros or a few dollars difference. You know, for them, actually hedging at one rate for the whole year could really hamstring them, because they can change their prices almost daily. They're plugging into an online platform ultimately. So they change their price according to not just FX rates, but I'm sure things like oil prices and energy prices and everything factors into what they charge on that day for that, you know, that airline ticket or whatever. But then you've got that high-end travel companies producing like a bespoke package, you know, still maybe on the high street, prints a brochure, travel brochure once a year, sets their prices once a year, and therefore sets their budget exchange rate once a year. For them, yes, they may have a significantly higher profit margin. And so they're setting their budget exchange rate significantly far away from where the market currently may be. But in the same light, they can hedge, they can crystallize that profit margin up front and immediately, obviously, as long as they can forecast roughly what their sales are going to be, right? So you've got two examples where hedging works and maybe where hedging doesn't quite often work.
I guess the Occam's razor is, like, if you would ask someone, well, would you start currency trading tomorrow just for fun or just with company money? Would you just let her think, oh, yeah, I think I can make some money for the company by currency trading. Do you think that's a good idea? A lot of people would say, no, you'd be crazy.
Yeah.
You've seen Wolf of Wall Street. You know how that works. Yeah, nothing you can go near. So, and yet a lot of businesses do, like increasing globalization. Almost no business that doesn't work with someone overseas in some aspect as a customer or as a supplier or a vendor. What about the size of, I mean, this all sounds like we talk about, you know, big companies hedging. It sounds like a big boy thing to do. It seems like an enterprise play. And in your experience, like, what's the smallest business that you've seen take this FX threat seriously? I mean, what's the range of companies that should be looking at this?
That's a really good question, James, because historically, you go back 5-10 years ago, and even to this day, well, 10 years ago in the UK anyway, you know, the banks were the major players in this space in foreign exchange. And with all due respect to banks, they do loads of things really well, but they weren't servicing that SMB or SME space. And so the types of people that were exposed to someone who's willing to sit down with them and explain the strategy and how it works and how it should work and how they can implement forward contracts and hedging and things were really those businesses that had turnovers of north of 100 million, you know, euros or pounds a year. So that whole space below that, the huge SME market, was almost left behind a little bit to either work it out for themselves and then maybe go to a bank and ask the question themselves. Or just didn't do anything about it, right? But what we found over time is, you know, people like OFX, you know, I know we've been around longer than 10 years, but, you know, we've come into the market really and identified the SMEs who may only have a foreign exchange exposure across a year of €500,000 or £500,000 or $500,000, who can still have, you know, a half, three quarters of their profit margin wiped away due to FX market swings. So to answer your question, I think anyone of any size really can start looking at hedging strategies. But the real value comes, I think, from £500,000 up to, you know, for us really on the top end is up to about the 100 million mark, where we really operate and where we really support a lot of sort of SMBs.
Okay, that's a good rule of thumb.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about possibly, James, is some of the key events this year that might drive the markets. I mean, I don't know if you think it's worth maybe us covering some of that.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess the real big events this year are based around the inflationary topic. The whole inflation story is driven by really a perfect storm of the pandemic, which caused huge supply chain issues with the likes of China, right, which drove up prices of logistics and cost of importing went through the roof, you know, 10, 20, 50x in some cases. And then straight after that, you had the whole Ukraine-Russia situation, which then ballooned up energy prices. So you had this perfect storm of supply chain costs going through the roof and then energy prices going through the roof and the cost of everything just shooting up massively. And so inflation is just, you know, everyone thought it was going to be a transitory thing that was going to come for a couple of months and then we'll be able to get rid of it through some interest rate hikes and it will come back down again to the 2% target that the ECB and the Bank of England have. But actually, it's become a bit of a situation that's lingering and could linger for quite a while longer.
They're calling it sticky.
Very sticky.
So how does that impact, presumably, largely the economies experiencing, all economies are experiencing higher inflation rates. So how does that impact currency exchange? If all inflation is anywhere, does it matter if you're converting from one to another?
Yeah, so you're right. Inflation is. This is a global situation, this inflationary environment that we're in. But you're seeing now disparities between economies and the impact of inflation on those economies. I'll give you the example of the US versus the UK, because it shows a huge disparity. We just had a release of our UK CPI figures this week that showed that inflation is still up at 8.7% in the UK. Inflation in the US now has dropped below 4%. So what you're seeing now is the Federal Reserve, the US Central Bank, last week decided not to increase interest rates in their last meeting. Not to say they won't in future, but they did it in the last meeting, which was quite significant considering there's been back-to-back rate hikes, interest rate hikes. The UK, we saw only yesterday, the Bank of England increase interest rates by another 0.5%, right? So you're seeing some significant rate hikes out of the UK. Now, in simple terms, an interest rate hike is positive for that currency. So the pound is benefiting from the Bank of England being what we call hawkish and aggressively increasing interest rates. Now, the market obviously doesn't look at what's happening right now, James, but looks at, you know, what's going to happen in the future. And I think the issue is that in the UK, they're suspecting the interest rates may have to go up to sort of 6.5%, you know, 6.25% before they stop now to control inflation. So this is really the big story in terms of the currency markets. But what impact is this going to have on the UK economy, for example? And the same applies to the ECB. You know, we've still got high inflation across the Eurozone at the moment, but we saw only today, you know, European PMI, so servicing and manufacturing PMI data, come out worse than expected. So the effect of what Christine Lagarde is doing and what the European Central Bank is doing is impacting the European economy, right? It's causing the economy to drop, and potentially could we have a recessionary environment, both the UK and the Eurozone? And that's the concern as well.
So if I was trying to translate that to me in my business, I'm trying to think about whether I need to be paying people in euro for the next 6 months or 12 months or pounds. What I heard there was, let's say if the euro is weakening, this is simple to say, well, if the euro is weakening, or if the economic sort of environment is worsening in euro, that means the euro is going to be worth less. Is it as simple as that? Or is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so it's actually a double-edged sword, because what you've got, James, is as the interest rates go up, the currency will benefit from that. So actually, the euro should strengthen as interest rates go up, and it has, right? Euro dollars come right up from, we were down at 0.96 at the low point last year, all the way up to, you know, close to 112 at one stage, but we're sort of trading around the 108 level at the moment. However, the flip of that is you've got weak data now coming out of the Eurozone. Potentially, it's going to damage the economy from the point of consumer confidence and people spending and everyone tightening their belts, people spending less, which is going to affect the whole economy, of course, to that then impacting the euro from a negative standpoint and coming down. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, where actually short-term euro dollar may benefit from these interest rate hikes, but longer term, could there be a drop now in euro dollar back to the levels we were closer to at the start of the year, 104, 105, because the eurozone gets impacted by aggressive rate hikes by Christine Lagarde. So it's a difficult one to call, but I think the message is there's a lot of uncertainty still this year because of the inflationary picture.
So if I'm running, let's say, an SMB in Britain, and I have a lot of European customers, and I'm basically, there's uncertainty there whether those euros are going to be worth the same at the end of the day in my pounds, that would be a good chance to say, okay, well, listen, I can't afford it to be worth any less than it is now. I might just talk to OFX and talk about locking that in to remove that uncertainty, concentrate about all the other crazy uncertainties that are happening in the business. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives you certainty ultimately. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad you picked that up. That's a good thing to write and things out on.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No worries, James.
Okay, great. So yeah, well, so I'll just ask you, how can people get in touch with you, or how could they follow up if they're interested in mitigating the risk, of course, within, if you're a Procurement Express customer, built right into the platform there is the OFX integration and the ability to get in touch to set up a call with your sales team. But if people want to follow you generally, where can they find you?
Yes, I think the best channels really, James, are over LinkedIn. You know, my name, Harry Naranthira. If you search that, you can add me there. And, you know, we put a lot of content out, OFX, in terms of daily market updates and, you know, information on what's happening in the markets, any big data points that are released. You know, we'll put something on LinkedIn. So you can follow our OFX page as well as my own page as well. You can reach out to me directly, you know, my first name dot surname at OFX.com, and we can set up a phone call. We're all about being able to help businesses, you know, without any obligation, but we're more than happy to support, you know, initially to see if we can provide any guidance that supports any businesses. And yeah, I would say those are the channels, and OFX.com is our website. A lot of good content on there as well. Our daily market updates and our currency outlooks are on there, which give you a monthly outlook of all the key currencies and what might happen to them. So again, I highly recommend that as a really good source at the start of every month to read.
Great. Thanks very much, Harry. It's been really great to have you on board.
Thank you, James. Cheers.
So that wraps it up for another episode of the Gross Profit Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts.